We're going to do Perek Zion today. Perek Zion of Gilat Esther, since a couple of people answered, you know, I asked you about, I have this really good mahalach that I did, that I have on the, I think I've done it too, I must have done it. Okay, so we're going to do Perek Zion, which is the culmination, the high point of the Megillah, right? You know, the, what's it called? The sea? How do you say it? The high point. Okay, where everything comes to a head, and we have climax. To decide what happens in the end.
Climax.
So that's the word I was looking for, sea. Okay. I was thinking, remember a few months ago at the inauguration, there was a whole brouhaha about the fact that Ivanka Trump and her husband got a heter to travel because they had to be at the inauguration. And people were questioning, why do they have to be at the inauguration? Why do they have to travel? Et cetera, et cetera. So, first of all, it's just generally inappropriate to discuss the religiosity and frumkeit of other people. Yeah, that's first of all. Not a whole discussion was not appropriate.
That being said,
no, I didn't like that people were oh, she's a convert. Like, it's really not appropriate. That being said, knowing what we know about her father, right? The idea being that a one moment can have an effect that will then prevent you from, you know, that pushes you out of the circle. This idea being that, like, if she's not there at the inauguration, if they're not there at that time, right, if you know him, I mean, from what we know of him, he's a pretty impulsive person, her father. And then he could say at the end, like, he could just decide, not interested in what you have to say. You weren't there for me, I'm not going to be there for you. And the ripple effect and that knowledge is very important. You know, being in the place, at the right place, at the right time, right, is all the difference in the world. You know, if you're not there, if you're not in the room when they make the decision, you know, as we now see that, like, all they discuss now is Shabbos. Why do they talk about Shabbos?
Because that's when he makes the stupid decision.
The crazy tweets are on Shabbos,
right?
And all they're talking about is, like, you know, why do they have to be Shomer Shabbos? Can't they just keep him in control? Like, you know what I'm saying?
They spoke about that in the news.
Yeah, that's what they're talking about. So the idea of being in the room, and I think it's like a really interesting theme. Of this parak of chapter 7 of the climax of Megillat Esther is the split second decisions that have to happen, and the crazy series of events as we're going to see that don't really make sense in order to actually save the Jewish people, because all of the, you know, machinations and all of the thoughts and all of the whatever are all fine and good, but ultimately you don't know what's going to happen. Ultimately, Esther had no idea what was going to happen coming up to this. You know, we were joking because we were invited. We wanted to have friends over, and then they, like, invited us back because they felt guilty. So I went up to the guy, saw the guy this morning. I was like, yeah, we really didn't feel like cooking. So we figured we'd invite you, and then you'd invite us back, you know. Right? And he's like, that's funny. We were thinking of inviting you, but you got to us first. You know, like, it's always this sort of psychology. Esther has no idea what's going to happen. You know, we know what her plans are, or we can imagine what her plans were. Right, that Rashi says we imagine what her plans were. Rashi says that her plans were that the beginning of, you don't have to look, I'll just show you. On the beginning of Perek Vav, it says that Nadadash Nat HaMelech, that he couldn't sleep. Some Rashi says, Sam Elibo Ad Shizimna Esteret Haman. Right? Why couldn't he sleep? Because why does she keep fighting Haman? Like, there's psychology here. There's games. She's playing games with him. Right? That's all fine and good. She's playing games. But she has no idea how the games are going. She has no idea that he didn't sleep that night. She has no idea, like, what's going on in Haman's mind. She just doesn't know. And now we come to Perek Zayin. Vayavo Hamelech veHaman lishtot im Esther Hamalka. The king and Haman come to drink.
Is this the first or the second?
The second one. Okay? This is the second party. Remember, they went to the first party, I'll just remind you. And at the first party, he says, what do you want? And what does she say?
Come back tomorrow.
Come back tomorrow. I'll tell you tomorrow. Okay? So she's playing games. But now the time has come, the moment of truth. Vayom HaMelech LeEsther, Gam Vayom HaSheini B'Mishteh HaYayin. Okay, the second day, B'Mishteh HaYayin. What does that mean, Mishteh HaYayin?
The wine.
A wine party? Wine. So what have they been doing?
Drinking.
Okay. Why is this important?
He's drunk.
Clearly, they make decisions. You know, what does wine do to all of you who have been drunk at any given time?
Wine-headed.
Yes.
Control.
Judgment.
Cloudy.
What?
Cloudy.
Cloudy.
Right. Faulty judgment.
Yeah. Impulsiveness.
Impulsive.
Impulsiveness. It takes your, it doesn't change you. Okay, I'll just tell you. It doesn't make you different. It just makes you more. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Sometimes too honest, too.
Too honest. Too. Okay. So all of Purim, you'll realize the idea of getting drunk on Purim is also related to the fact that the whole story happened through wine, right? The downfall of Vashti happened because they were all drunk, right? The resolution happens because Ahasuerus is not really making coherent decisions, and Esther planned this. Who was also part of the culture. You didn't go and ask him. Although if she did, she would go and ask him. Later on, we'll see that when she wants to save her people, she doesn't have wine. She doesn't want to make impulsive decisions. She goes and she bows down and she begs further for to save them. It works in the end, but she doesn't do it in wine. She doesn't get him drunk. Okay? What do you want? What do you want? What are you asking? And it will be given to you. What is your request up to Chatzia Malchut V'Teyas? What is up to Chatzia Malchut? What is he saying?
You're an equal partner.
What?
You're an equal partner.
Yeah, no. By the way, it's ad velo ad bichlal. It's 49.99%. There's no 50%.
I'm willing to give you the illusion of being an equal partner.
Correct. It's not in the, it's interesting that he keeps saying that. It's so interesting that he keeps saying that. Now, in the Midrash understands always ad Chatzia Malchut is always an implication. He's saying something. What can she not have? Anybody know what he's saying she can't have?
His right,
Yerushalayim.
The Beit HaMikdash, right. If you look at Targum, anybody here have Targum or only me? Really, you have Targum, it says. He says the following. Mashi latech Esther Malka, ma ba'utech, afilu ad palgut malchutach et nanalech. Even up to half. L'chod l'mivne Beit Mukdasha. But what won't I do? It's so interesting. Why he would say this to her? I mean, it's clearly the debate. It's clearly that he doesn't know she's a Jew, so it's clearly Midrash. It's clearly the Midrash is extrapolating. But Ahasuerus is saying, you can have anything you want. I'm not building the Beit HaMikdash. The Kaim Bapalgut Tchum Malchuti. Because that Beit HaMikdash is in my half. Right? So he says, Ad Chatzi HaMalchut, you can have half the kingdom, but just understand the important stuff is in my kingdom, my half.
But he doesn't know that she's
a Jew. No, she doesn't. Right, clearly. It's not pshat, it's drash. Okay, and the drash is, this we have discussed in previous years, the whole subtext in the mind of Chazal is what will be the future of the Jewish people? And it's this struggle of the Jewish people to decide, can we rebuild the Beit HaMikdash or not? Because historically, the drive, the initiative to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash had already started with Ezra, right? And they were already building the Beit HaMikdash, and then they stop in the middle because there were these imposters or these people that, what are they called? The detractors, who claimed that they were trying to rebuild, and so then they stopped the building of the Beit HaMikdash. Right? And then according to Chazal, Haman, it was Haman's sons who were the ones that tried to prevent the building of the Beit HaMikdash. So therefore, Mordechai and Haman were both in Yerushalayim, and they both came back to Shushan in order to lobby for and against, etc., etc. So this is the undertow of the whole story. What is the future of the Jewish people? So Ahasuerus is like, no, we're not building the Beit HaMikdash. And the end, by the way, who gives permission? Esther's son is the one that gives permission to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. So it's all part of the story. So you get half of the Malchut V'Teyas.
Esther's son from Ahasuerus, meaning also Ahasuerus' son?
Yes, I think so. I'm pretty sure. According to the Megillah, yeah. Okay. Vatan Esther Hamalka. Vatomer, she answered. Im atzati chen ve'einecha hamelech. Ve'im halamelech tov. Tinaten li nafshi b'she'elati v'ami b'bakashati. If I found favor in the king's eyes, and if it is good on the king, you will give me my soul by my request and my nation for my asking. Ki nimkarnu ani v'ami Lahashmid, laharog, ulaabed. Because we have been sold, me and my nation, to be destroyed, to be killed, to be lost. V'ilu laabadim ulushvachot nimkarnu hecharashti. Ki ein hatzar shoveh benezek hamelech. Very interesting. Like, I always wonder, let us translate and I wonder. Because we, me and my nation, have been sold to destruction, to be killed, to be lost. And if we were only sold into servitude, to serve as slaves and shvachot and maidservants, hacharashti, I would have stayed silent. Now I want to translate this phrase. Ki ein hatzar shoveh benezek hamelech. Ki ein hatzar shoveh benezek hamelech.
The perpetrator.
Tzar meaning?
Shame.
Oh, okay. That's one interpretation. Ein hatzar. So how do you translate it? Because the tzar, who's the tzar? Tzar means?
Haman.
A tzar, what does the word tzar mean? Bitter?
The perpetrator.
Tzar means perpetrator? No. Ish tzar ve'oyev.
The one causing distress.
Tzara. Man of the, is that pshat? Tzar?
I think so, because in the next pasuk it's ish tzar ve'oyev.
Oh, that's okay.
So it's pretty
what?
Yeah.
Adversary?
There you go.
Okay. Ki ein hatzar. So how the adversary is not shoveh benezek hamelech.
Shoveh is not shaveh.
Right. It's a hard to translate. Very, very difficult to translate. There's a few interpretations. Rashi? Okay. And Rashi says, she says something that's difficult to explain. Rashi says, einenu choshesh benezek hamelech.
No, that's close to pshat because shoveh is not
shaveh. Wait, what's tsar? What's tsar? What's tsar here, according to Rashi?
Haman.
Haman is a nano shoveh benezek hamelech. He doesn't care about the damage it's going to cause to the king.
Okay,
that's what Rashi says. Okay, she'ilu radaf achar hana'atcha. Because if he cared about you, what would he say? Say, well, how is this relevant? Rashi says, hayar lo lomar mechor otam la'avadim ulishvachal v'kabel mamon. He wouldn't kill you. What's the benefit of genocide? What do you get from genocide? The answer is, it's the same question of the Nazis. The Nazis, right? As we well know, right? They dedicated critical resources to killing Jews. For what? No, for hatred, for nothing. Right? If they were smart, they would have said to the Jews, you know, if they were intelligent, they would have fed the Jews, and the Jews would have produced a war machine uncomparable. In a way, you know, thank God they didn't care. You can imagine what we could have created. They would have let the Jews build God only knows what. There's some truth to that. I just thought of that. Isn't it true? You know? Lo aleinu. Anyway, okay. So if you ein hanezek shoveh, ein hatzar shoveh benezek haimelech, he doesn't care the damage to the king. Okay, that he wanted to kill us instead of just keeping us as slaves. That's one interpretation. There's another interpretation. Ein hatzar shoveh benezek haimelech. What is tzar from tzara? Okay, hold on one second. Any other interpretations? Anybody else? What do you have there? What did the dot mikra say?
That's exactly what I
always thought it meant. That's how I always interpret the pshat. Right. Well, maybe it is.
Okay.
Yeah, that's definitely possible. One second. There's definitely one second. Right. Uznika demalka. Uznika nezek. Okay, the damage of nezek. Wait one second. Anybody else? Did he say anything? What does he have? But it's Shoveh Benezek HaMelech?
No, that's for
Ein Tzar. The Tzar is the Oyev, right? He's Haman. Right?
Benezek HaMelech Kenegin, Hefset Shal HaMelech, Klamar, Ein Haman HaRasha Ro'uri Lakach, Shebegolov Yigarem HaMelech, Hefset Gadol Ba'abdan Kol Yitinav HaYehudim.
Right, he doesn't care about, that's Rashi. So they take Rashi Pshat. Okay, the Ibn Ezra says the following, so that's one interpretation. Ibn Ezra says the following: Ein hatzara hazot haba aleinu shaveh be'einenu meuma. This tzara, he says, if we would have been sold into slavery, I would not have said anything. Ki ein hatzar, meaning that damage is not a big deal to us. Okay? Kedei shelo yavo hamelech yidei nezek b'machshavto. I never would have brought it up because if they would have sold us into slavery, not a big deal. I wouldn't have bothered you with it. But once they're killing us, I gotta say something. Seems very strange. Doesn't it seem very strange?
I think it's sort of our responsibility. That's right. Like, we've been slaves before, and we survived that. We know we have a Torah that will take us out, but having our lives being threatened is the difference.
It's very strange. Meaning she's, in a way, when you hear her say this, that last phrase, "V'ilu le'avadim b'shvachon nikarnu yechrashti," it seems very. Why would you have to add that? Why don't you? It's so much more powerful to say, "Ki nimkarnu ani lashmida rogula beg." Save us! Save me! Somebody's trying to kill me! But then she's like, well, she's fine. What? Oh, you mean to him?
That's true.
Okay.
But
to me, when I hear this, I hear her anxiety about putting everything on the table. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? She has to backtrack a little bit. She doesn't know how he's going to react. It's unclear how he's going to react. You know what I'm saying? Because remember, also, what doesn't he know about her the whole time? She doesn't know who she is. So all of a sudden, she's like, "You've sold me into." And he's like, "What? What are you talking about?" And so she has to say, why didn't I say anything, et cetera, et cetera. She's not in a good position either. He's angry at her. He's been angry at her the whole time. And how do we know this? One second. Parak Pasuke. Oh, yeah, he's very upset at her. What's he upset about? And?
She won't tell him.
And he asked her, and she won't tell him. You know, he keeps asking her, and she won't tell him. Keeps asking her, and she won't tell him. Like, at some point, I'm the king. You know what I'm saying? And
if she would have told him, wouldn't this whole story not have happened? Like, or she would have been behind.
What?
Or she would have been behind.
Right, well. Well, and she also wasn't, she was told not to tell him. Mordechai told her not to tell him. Don't say. Okay? One second. I'm looking for a midrash. Ein nezek shoveh b'tzar ha-melech. Gemara says, I knew I was looking for this. Says the Gemara Megillah, Tetzayim. Amr lo, tzar ze, einena shaveh benezek jal hamelech. Tzar ze, this tzar, i.e. Achashverosh, doesn't care about the damage to the king. Ikne be bevashti, he was jealous of Vashti, vikatla, and he killed her. Hashta ikne bididi, umibay lemiktile. Now he's jealous of me, he wants to kill me too. Meaning, what she's really saying, according to the Gemara, is, Ein tzar, this guy, because, you know, it says, but this guy doesn't care about what damage is going to come to you. What does he really want? Why was he jealous of Vashti? Why did he get rid of Vashti? Because he wanted more power, and it worked for him. And now he's afraid of me, and he's going to kill me. And what's going to happen next? He's going to kill you. Vayomer HaMelech Achashverosh. Vayomer LeEsther HaMalka. The king said to Melech Achashverosh said, and he said to Esther HaMalka, Mi hu zeh ve'ezehu asher mele'oli bo la'asot kein. What the hell are you talking about? Who is this person whose heart would be filled to do this? Does he really not know? Isn't it very strange? Mi hu zeh ve'ezehu. Anybody ever wonder, like, how could he not know what she's talking about? Does he not know? Is he really that innocent? Is he just drunk? Is he just confused?
Or he wants the confirmation.
Anyone? Or just you have no idea?
He knows, but maybe he wants a confirmation.
I don't know. I don't know. I, like, there's no way to know if he doesn't know, or he's faking it, or he's lying, or he's pretending. Right.
So I think that he doesn't know because he thinks that the enemy is all over.
So he doesn't know who she's talking about.
Yeah.
He doesn't also know, right? What else he doesn't know right now? He still doesn't know who she is.
She's
right.
But yeah, and he also doesn't know the plan, even though he's fine.
He forgot about it 3 days ago. What? Do you think people were approaching the king all the time to kill, you know, nations? Sure, what the heck, you know. I just killed another nation like 2 days ago, and it was like nothing. Right, how does he not know?
Perhaps he signed it, but he didn't know what he's signing for.
Well, yeah.
What's that, Danielle?
She's personalizing the treasure. You know, like, she's someone's trying to kill me exactly when you see it. You know, it's out there.
You think that he just like didn't know Ki Ani Ami? He didn't care about the Ami. He's like, what are you talking about, Esther? Who's trying to kill you?
Right. Like, he has no clue.
Who's trying to kill you?
Yeah, it could be he just didn't hear. Like, you know, it says Ki Ani Ami. He heard Ami. Ooh, who are you? Who are you? Who's trying to kill you? You know, like she's like, and remember, he's drunk.
I think if he wrote, but if he wrote off on destroying the Jewish people, then and Haman convinced him that these people are garbage, are nothing. Esther, who he chose from all of those women, is the most mysterious, seductive, whatever person. It could never enter his mind that she could be part of this dirty, disgusting a nation of Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just so in the realm of absurd that when she says that El Ami, you know, Ani Ba'ami, that he's like, he didn't even think about the Jewish people because it was just so foreign for him.
It's all in the moment. He's like confused. He doesn't know what's going on.
How could she possibly be part of that? That's not how
he wants to get together.
Because he can't, because it's just so absurd. It's so...
So you really think that when he said Mi Uzev Ezehu, he has like, what are you talking about? This makes no. What do you mean?
I like what you said.
Yeah.
It could be.
I really think he did.
Not because necessarily presented him as this garbage people.
Oh no.
Presented them as dangerous, as a threat, because he's just paranoid about anyone who's going to usurp any type of control or whatever. And I think the same thing we saw in history and anti-Semitism, that it wasn't. You know, it's like those Jews are going to take over Germany. They're going to take over. They've got have all the power.
No, they
the
weren't.
They've got all the power.
I don't agree with you. Especially, they were also presented as dirty, vermin-filled.
Yes.
I think in order to justify being able to get rid of them, they had to be considered.
Well, that's the paradox of anti-Semitism. On the one hand, we're taking over the world, and on the other hand, we're like the worst people in the world.
Mm.
Like, we can't do anything, but we can do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Doesn't make any sense.
But I'm saying with the Mithuzeh, maybe, like, you know. He signed off on this plan to, you know, he didn't even know the details of what he was signing. You know, it was like, here's a threat, we're going to get rid of it, establish
it. I find that hard to accept.
Really?
I don't think he's a fool. I just don't. You're making him into a clown. I guess, I don't know.
If he's been drunk for that long. I'm just saying, who knows what he signed?
They were all drunk for that long.
But you kind of see why.
The way people talked about Jews behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Right.
She wouldn't want to say, oh, look,
you know, like, what do we know now about the way people talk about other people behind closed doors?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how careful you have to be. And, you know, it's interesting. We don't know how people talk about us behind closed doors.
Except when they walk, when the microphones are still on.
Right. Okay.
Vayomer
Esther, Pasuk Vav. Ish. Tzar ve'oyev haman hara hazeh. Ish tzar ve'oyev. So the Gemara says, she said, la'ashmid, la'rog, la'abed, ish tzar ve'oyev. He got three titles. Haman hara hazeh. It's like really good. It's like very poetic. Ish tzar ve'oyev haman hara hazeh. Him! You know? Haman,
but she's very dramatic in general. She's very good at building up the dramatic, and I think that's part of what speaks to Ahasuerus.
I don't know. Yeah, like it's appealing, but it's hard to know. Okay, I have to read you the Unklus, okay? Because it's not.
There's no Unklus.
Oh, there's Targum. There you don't have Targum. Okay. But first of all, you didn't notice this. Maybe you did notice this.
But
Haman
is there. He's sitting in the room.
Oh yeah. Pasuke. Well, she's talking to him now. He says, what do you want? And she gets up, as Rina said, dramatically. And she says...
She does. Look, there's a person who wants to destroy me and my nation. It's very dramatic.
Vayomer HaMelech Achashverosh, Vayomer LeEsther.
Why are there two Vayomers?
So the Gemara says, Vayomer. Why? Amar Rabbi Avahu, Bitchila Ayedei Torgaman. He wouldn't talk to her directly. Because she wouldn't tell him who he was. Kevan da'amra la bat melachimana, when she said, I'm the daughter of kings of Shaul HaMelech, then Vayomer LeEsther Malka. Later on, he does talk to her. But the idea is, he's so upset with her, he's so distanced from her, he won't talk to her directly. Like, she's sort of estranged herself, she's paid a price. Anyway, so that's the very common midrash. Amrat, from Pasuk Vav, what does she say? Gavra Me'ika, terrible person, Nuba'al Debaba. Dibaba is like
bad.
Dibaai lemikdalach. He wants to kill you. Biramsha bebeit dimakach. Vyomadein ba'a the milbash istila de malkuta. On that day he wants to wear your istila, your coat, your crown. Ula mirkav al susa dilach, and he wants to ride on your horse. Ula achata menicha de dahava al reshe. He wants to put your crown on his head. Ula mardabach. He wants to rebel against you. Ula misa minach malchuta.
To take your kingship away.
Correct. According to the Midrash, he couldn't care less. He wanted to kill the Jews. He couldn't care less. What she is said was, he doesn't want to, you think he wants to kill me? He doesn't want to kill me. He wants to kill me because he wants to kill you. And the king said, who wants to kill me? And she said, he does. And he's like, whoa. Because in reality, it's probably true. It's absolutely true. Of course he wants to be king. And so because she has this thing of truth, what you think to kill the Jews was just, it was to get rid of me. He knew I was Jewish, and this is his way of getting rid of me. And I've been protecting you all along. I'm your, and that's why, because the king, he's worried about this. And now what she's doing is, she's confirming his wildest fears and his paranoia. Now, Haman would argue and say, I'm not trying to kill the king. I just hate the Jews.
But he doesn't really have a chance to defend himself.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. I'm just trying to kill the Jews. So, like, of course, if you'd ask him deep down, do you want to be the king? Of course I want to be the king. But it's not time for that yet. When the time comes, then I'll kill the king.
No, but what was the whole thing with wearing the king's crown and the king's...
Correct, that he did want to. But that's my point.
Clearly,
What?
That's what this is building on, that he says, whether the king says, what would you reward someone with?
Right, and the king suspected him. So she, going to the Midrash, it would make sense that she had heard about the whole thing.
She saw it.
Well, why would she wasn't there?
You don't think everyone was talking about
right,
it?
Right, she knew. Right,
she saw that, Mordecai.
How did she know what he had, what he said?
No, but not only that, she would have had to assume that because Mordecai's on the horse, she would have to assume that.
Without a doubt, she had her people in there.
Who's it?
Oh, yeah. They were all spying on each other left and right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? She had her people, and they told her what the conversation was and what happened, et cetera, et cetera. And so then she would pick up on that. She's like, you know, the crown and the this and the coat and the horse and the, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he wants to kill you. And he's like, I knew it! and he's drunk, and he's not really making good decisions. And that's why Haman nivrat mi'melech mel b'malkah. Haman is nivat. Translate the word. Nivat, right, it's a flustered, it's a great word, but I mean, we're just translating in context. Be'ita,
yeah.
Be'ita, ba'ut, I don't know.
Be'ita's
with a tet. Yeah, be'ita's with a tet. That's with a tet.
But with a tet, isn't it?
Nivat. I don't know what it means. Anyone? Does even Ezra say anything? Haman nivat. Shoresh. Nivhal, migzerat, ba'ata, be'ita. Nivhal. Flustered. Okay, Haman is flustered from the king and the queen.
What does it mean? Ish ta'amim.
Tremble in terror.
Oh. Right. What's that?
Ish ta'amim.
What does it say?
Trembled in terror.
Trembled. Ah, okay. Got to read you this midrash of the Gemara. Gemara says, Ish tsav oyev haman hara hazeh. Says the midrash, Amar Rabbi Lezer, Malamei chayta machva kaplei achashverosh. Lomar, one second. Uba malach besatar yada klapei Haman. Says the Midrash when she said, she's looking at, okay, Laura, you'll be Achashverosh. Okay,
thanks.
You're welcome. Okay. All right, what? No, you don't want to be Esther. I'm going to be Esther, I'll be Achashverosh. And Miriam, you could be the malach. And Miriam, you'll be Haman. Okay? Says the Midrash. And she said, Vaitomer Emster Makach, Ish Tar Vo'ayev, be the malach.
The malach. I didn't hear it.
Haman hara hazeh.
She pointed to Achashverosh and the malach moved his hand
yes.
to Haman.
Yes.
Why?
Meaning because she didn't. What?
Who is she?
She didn't know who was.
I read it again. Shaita machva kaplei Achashverosh.
I don't understand what that means.
She was pointing at Achashverosh, Uba malach, came an angel, v'satar yadak, aplei Haman. Ish tar vo'ayev, Haman harazel.
Why would she do that? Why would she point out Ahasuerus?
Who is the each star of Oyev?
She's upset that Ahasuerus signed off.
What the hell?
why would she invite Haman to the party? She knew that Haman did it.
Meaning, I think in the Gemara is trying to say that in her,
I don't think
in her passion and her anger. Yes.
I don't think that's what the Gemara is trying to say.
Okay, what's the Gemara trying to
because
say?
Because I think the Gemara is trying to bring Yad Hashem back into the story. Because
oh, we'll see Yad Hashem in a second.
No, but
why would she point at Ahasuerus?
Can I finish?
Yes.
Not the Ahasuerus part, but in the beginning with the Vashti, when they called Vashti mm-hmm. and said Vashti isn't coming, the Midrash also says there, Ba Malach Vasala Zanan.
Okay.
So I think that the phrase of Ba Malach, it doesn't just say Malach Hezizat Yada, it says Ba Malach Vedadadad.
We're going to see more Malachim.
Ba Malach, but I think that's what Ba Malach means, is like God is here in the story.
No, but okay, God is here in the story, I agree
so
totally.
Why
correct.
But
why she pointed Ahasuerus?
I don't know.
Would you choose to forget?
Yeah.
And how
sure.
was how was she, like it's hard for us to know, like it's impossible to know. What did she think of him? I mean, according to this, she couldn't stand him. Mm-hmm. Now, between you and me, what kind of person would he have been in order to rise to power? Right. What do we know about the way he selected his wives?
Yeah.
Right. What do we know about what he expected of Vashti? What?
He's a low life.
He's a
ruthless.
Ruthless. Disgusting.
Crass.
What's that?
Picture a mafia guy.
Yeah. I mean, right? Paranoid. Killing people left and right who he doesn't trust. Right? You think this is the only person that, you know what I'm saying? So, to me, the Midrash is fascinating. Ish tsar v'oyev haman hara hazeh. Like, it gives a totally different meaning and understanding to. And the Malachim, I agree with you about the Malach. We're going to see a Malach in a second. That this whole thing had Yad Hashem written all over it. Okay? So, Haman nivach v'hamelach v'hamalka. V'hamelach kam v'chamato mi'mishteh ha'yayin. He's drunk. He's confused. He's now enraged. He's angry. Because now, I think that the unculus or the targum is shot, without a doubt. There's more to the conversation. She didn't just say this. She started really lacing into Haman. You know, about how terrible he was, and this is all a plot. He's trying to kill us both. You know what I'm saying? Because that's really what the king cares about. The king is who cares about himself. Okay? And, he doesn't tell you the whole story. Also, remember that in the retelling of the story, he's reading this, so he has to look good. So he wouldn't look good if it was all about himself, you know. So they have to write it in such a way as in order to make him look good. Anyway, so the king got up, he was very angry. He got up and from his anger and went out to the Ginat Habitan, the garden of Habitan. What do you have? I'm on Pasuk Zion. What's Ginat Habitan? Yeah, I know. To his garden of?
Palace garden.
Palace garden. Okay. Haman stood up to beg for his life from the queen, ki ra'a, ki kalta elav hara'a me'et ha'melech. Because he saw, this is going to be hard to translate, ki kalta elav hara'a me'et ha'melech. We have to ask ourselves now, stop for a second, we know how it ends. Take that out of your mind. What's happening now in the moment? How is it going for Esther? Why? No, she's not. Is she scared for her life?
No.
But what does she want to happen?
She one minute. So she's basically asking Ahasuerus to choose between her and Haman.
That's right. What does she want to happen? Right then and there. What did she want to happen?
That would be canceled because
they're on. Okay.
And for Ahasuerus to listen to her right away. He didn't respond right
away. That's not what she wanted.
To get rid of Haman.
Right. What did she want? She wanted him to say, kill that guy! But you're fired, right?
He just walks out.
Why does he walk out?
He doesn't know what to do.
Haman is a really important person. Haman is his, right-hand man. You can't. What? His chief of staff, the person he trusted. What's he gonna do? So he goes out to the garden. Why do you go out to the garden?
To To get sober?
To calm down. To clear your head. This is a problem.
But this is also unusual. It's not his M.O.
This is a problem. This is a terrible problem. Esther has big trouble now. We never think about this in this part of the story. We always think it's like, boom, 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 dead. But it's not. It's not. But why? Ki ra'a, right? He got up, okay? Haman is now going to beg for his life. Why? Ki ra'a, ki kalta elav ra'a me'et ha'melech. Kalta elav. What does the word kalta mean?
Like he realized.
Rashi. Nigmara ha'ra'a v'hasin'a v'hanakama. Nigmara. L'chalot usually means he's like, right? The king went outside. Everybody calm down. Let's clear our heads and figure out what's going on. Let me talk to Esther. Okay?
He's relaxed now?
Until I studied it, actually, this week, right now, I thought it meant he got up to beg because he's afraid. Kalta hara'a, it's like it's a done deal. But that's not what Rashi says, and that's also not pshat. Kalta hara'a. Okay? There are other parshanim who say the way I understood it, but that's not what Rashi says.
So it means translator.
What? Mm-hmm. How do they translate it?
The king's evil determination against him was final.
Was final?
Yeah. Against him or against the Jews?
Elav hara'a. Elav hara'a. Which you think is correct?
What does that mean? What does Rashi even mean? I don't understand.
Nigmara hara'a v'hasin'a v'hanakama.
Nigmara from who? From
all the bad is over.
But he's ignoring the Elav.
One second. Yeah. Kamta.
Unless the Elav is referring to the king.
Okay, we'll leave it as an open question. Kalta elav hara'a me'et ha'melech. I think, why does Haman get, he sees an opening. Clearly he sees an opening. It's not momentary. The king went out to take a stroll. I got to think about this. That's not what Esther wanted. V'hamelech shav miginata bitan al beit ha'mishteh yayin. V'haman nofel al hamita asher Esther aleha. How in the world did that happen? Did you make that up?
No. The Midrash says that. Yeah.
Hold on.
The Midrash says that's your malach.
Well, no, that's not my malach. One second. Why did the king go out? Why did he go out? We're like, why did he leave? So we thought he meant to calm down. Hold on one second. First, as they have a Haman no fail. Like, if you think about how ridiculous the scene is, how could it possibly happen? How could it possibly happen? What? Like that he begs for it, he falls on her bed? Really? Very strange.
Because it seems like he knows the tide has turned. And when you're begging for your life, you'll do anything.
Amar Rabbi Eliezer. You'll like this. Meet Gemara. Ba malach vehipilo aleha. Did you really make it up? That's what the Gemara says. An angel came and pushed him on her. What? She doesn't appear. You didn't know? That's what the Gemara says.
That's it. Angel wasn't around.
The angel is there.
He's there anyway, yeah.
Right.
I just have to ask really.
Wait a second. That's one interpretation. Another Midrash says, Esther Balat Gvura Hayit. Esther was a woman of great valor. Hepila Oto Aleha.
She pulled him.
She pulled him onto her. Amra. Nehareg ani vehu v'tinatzel uma. Let him kill us both, and the nation will be saved.
She pulled him like to make it look like he's.
That's right.
And then the king would get so angry he'd kill both of them, but
that's
at least
right.
Her.
Both of you, kill them both.
That's like Potiphar.
Wasn't this the right? Yeah. But she's trying to frame him. That's an amazing midrash, isn't it? That's amazing.
The decree was already out there, right?
No, he didn't say anything yet.
Against
the Jews is still out there.
Right.
But once Haman's dead, somebody else, whatever. You got to get rid of Haman. He's the guy. Okay. Is that reminiscent of Potiphar? Who's it reminiscent of? Someone who'll sacrifice herself for the sake of the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To me, it reminds me of Yael.
Well, that's just creepy.
She's getting
him dressed. His Hebrew name is Yael.
What? Okay, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. Don't get me wrong, but the whole story is so unusual. Somebody Jewish in the house of the king. It's like, really? How could you not? It's just like slam hits you in the face. The whole parallelism and history repeating itself. And just so you know, by the way, it didn't happen right away. Right? It happened a few years into the story. It's not something that happened as soon as he became king. We'll just keep that in mind. Okay. If we know anything about history, it's that it happens over and over again.
Wow.
And it repeats itself. I have no idea. Really, honestly, no idea. But whatever. Okay. So either the angel pushed him down, meaning Amon is like, he's not in control here. He's begging for his life. Or she pushed him down. There's something fishy going on here. And then, so why does he come back? This is really funny. He got up. Why did he get up? Okay. Makish shiva lekima. Why is he so angry when he comes back? He's really angry. He's really upset. Why is he upset? The Gemara says the following.
The whole point was for him to come down.
The azal. So right. Why did he go out in the first place? The azal. He went out. He saw these angels look like workmen. They're cutting down the trees in his special garden. This is what the heck are you doing? Okay? He goes out to his garden. Why does he go out to his garden? Because he hears workmen chopping down the trees in his prized, you know, royal garden. Amule. What do you think they said to him? Anybody want to guess?
Haman told us.
Pakdin on Haman. Haman told us to do it. It's like, damn that Haman. Like, so he's like, you know, and he goes back in. This is in all the Midrashim. It's really in all the Midrashim.
Cool.
One second. Umalka Zakaf. Why did we go out to the garden? It's either to calm down, or it says Umalka, the king, after he's like talking to Esther. I'm reading you the Targum. Zakaf Yat Enoi. He picked up his eyes. He sees 10 angels who are now have transformed into the 10 sons of Haman, Katin Ilana di Beginata Gava, who are cutting down a tree in his garden. Okay? As he gets up from this, he's angry. Right? He goes out. What are the sons of Haman doing in my garden? What are you doing cutting down my trees? And then the Haman comes. So like, according to the Gemara, according to the Midrashim, you wanted Malachim, you got Malachim, right? There's a Malach that saved Esther. There's a Malach that pushed Haman into Esther. And there are 10 Malachim dressed up like the sons of Haman that are cutting down his cherry tree. You know, like, literally that. Okay, and he comes back and he's like, he doesn't know what in the world is going on. And then it says, V'hamelech sham miginata bitana bet mishteh hayayin. He's enraged about losing his prized trees. And if anybody knows anything about people who like their gardens, somebody cut down the tree in your garden is like the worst thing in the world, you know? Haman nofel hamita asher ester ala. And Haman, somebody pushed him into the mita. Vayomer hamelech hagam lichbosh et hamashteh imi babayit. Really? You're gonna take my wife while I'm here? Like I walked out for 10 minutes and like that's it? Hadavar yatzah mipnei hamelech v'pnei Haman chafu. That was it. As soon as he said that, Pnei Haman chafu. Chafu?
They covered his face.
He was covered?
They covered his face. Yeah. Because otherwise it would be a hit pa'el if it was about the...
Naflu panav, his face fell.
Okay. Yeah.
Just so you know, Esther Rabba says it in a different, little same story, in a little different version. Ma asa Michael? What did the archangel Michael do? Dachvar al Esther. See, pushed Haman to Esther.
Oh, this one says that it was Gabriel.
Okay. V'hayta metzaeket. And she cried, Adoni HaMelech, hareu kavshani lefanecha. Achashverosh, save me! He's trying to rape me! That's what it says. I'm not reading. Okay, and then he said, that's why he said, right? Hagam lichvoshet hamalka imi babayit. So could Esther in her wildest imagination have dreamed that the story would have gone this way?
Never.
What was she hoping? She's hoping, okay, like there's a plot going on. There's a
plot.
right? Cast him to the plot. He's trying to kill me. And she hoped that Harpeh would say, who's doing this? Haman. What? Haman, what in the world? Maybe he'll change his mind. Maybe he'll get him killed. I don't know. But this whole thing takes a crazy left turn. The garden, you know what I'm saying? The trees, that like he falls on the bed. Right? Like these things are like when we read it to ourselves and you read it quickly through the Megillah, you're like, oh yeah, right. But when you think about it, like that's impossible. And that's the point of the story. It is impossible. It's not possible. Right? You have to see the hand of God in the unbelievable turn of events as they happen in this 10 minutes that determine the future of the Jewish people. And that's why Chazal say, an angel came here, an angel came there. You know what I'm saying? Like, logically, there's no possible way for this to have happened. Why would he kill this right-hand man? You know, okay, we'll figure it out. Let's calm down. Everybody calm down. Haman wanted to kill the Jews. Esther, we'll take care of you. Don't worry. He didn't know it was you. We'll say you're not Jewish. We'll figure it out. But some crazy thing had to happen to get the king so angry, to get him so out of control that he'd say, kill him. Get rid of him now. And Esther couldn't have planned for that, and there was no way. She had no idea what would happen. She fasted. That's all we could do.
She did a
hishtadlut. That's right. Mm. That's the point. She did a hishtadlut, and the rest is in the hands of God. And she did. Okay. Vayomer charvona. Echad min hasarisim lifnei ha-melech. גם הנה העץ אשר עשה המן למרדכי אשר דיבר טוב על המלך עומד בבית המן גבוה 50 אמה. Hey, good news.
By the way.
We happen to have a tree ready.
Yeah.
Okay. ויאמר המלך תלוהו עליו. Who's Charvona? Who's Charvona? All of a sudden, this guy that we never know. Okay. So the Midrash says, Charvona is an opportunist. Charvona was one of Haman's henchmen. He came to the party with Haman. He's like his consigliere. But what did Charvona see?
Things are going bad.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, what?
My chance.
Yeah. Things go bad for Haman. You know, he says, oh, by the way, and that's how he knew it, by the way. That's how he knew about the tree. That's how he knew about the you know, the gallows that Haman is on. Tlu alav, great.
That makes sense as to why he wanted
a
heinous crime so too.
Yeah.
Because if there really is a heinous crime, then why would he understood that? But if he saw his sons cutting down his garden, it makes sense.
I can't say that shot. It's so weird. No, the reason why Mordechai wanted to hang, I saw. The reason
why.
Achashverosh agreed because you give somebody a job. You appoint somebody, you say, you're my next in command, you do what he wants, I don't care. Right? And by the way, why did Mordechai, I saw Professor Chazoni, a very liberal rabbi, put out a post on Facebook saying, like, I can't accept the immorality of you know, the whole story of Haman, and why would they kill the sons, et cetera, et cetera. So somebody posted a page from Professor Chazoni's book about politics and Achashverosh in the Megillah. In those times, if you were to leave anybody who could be a threat to you, right, they would ultimately come and rise up and try to kill you. Right? There was no choice. Mm-hmm. You had to.
You mean you killed his father, so they're going to take revenge?
Oh, absolutely, they would take revenge. They would represent an ultimate. They would always represent a threat to you. If you want to kill Haman, you have to destroy any remnant of his family. Those are the politics of the time. Right, right. I think they survived or whatever. I don't know. It's a good question. His sons, not his grandson. Right. But I'm saying the idea of killing the 10 sons of Haman, and the Midrash says that they were culpable, but even if they weren't culpable, they were part of the family, they considered or constituted a threat. It was clear that they had to do that. I want to finish with one Midrash that I saw, a beautiful Midrash. The Midrash asks a very great question. Lama bin Kevot. Why did God save the Jewish people through the women?
What's the question?
Great.
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yafe. Amru chachamim. B'shah she'ayelet azot sam'ahi. When a ayelet, it's called ayelet, ayal. It's a female ayal.
Ram.
Ayal ta'arog alafikei mayim. What's an ayal? Ram, right? Ayelet. We'll see in a second. He chofer et guma. She digs a hole. Ve'kovat karneha letocha and sticks her horns in. Ve'oreget lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitoch tzara. And she pleads before God out of pain. Ve'kadosh Baruch Hu ma'ala la et ha-tahom. So God raises up tahom, the waters from the depths. Ve'tahom ma'ala la et ha-mayim. And that brings water to her. Shene emar, as it says, ka'ayal ta'arog al afike mayim. Masarex ka'ayal ta'arog. Kein nafshi ta'arog elecha elokim. Kach Esther. What did Esther do? B'sha'ash ha'gazah ha'man ha'rashag zerot kashot al Yisrael. When Haman right made his decrees, hitchila oreget b'tfila lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'toch tzara. She was oreget, ka'ayal ta'arog. That word, ayin resh gimel. Arog alafike mayim, like the deer, when it needs water, when it sees water, when it feels the water, it digs and digs and digs and digs and digs and pushes and pushes and pushes. So, somehow, like men, we hold back. There's a part of us that says, yeah, God, I know that I need you and that everything is dependent on you, but I think I can take care of myself. And then, women, they have no problem pleading and pushing and, you know, and ta'arog alafike mayim, to be oreg, okay? V'ana'ato HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Esther, when she had no problem, oreget b'tfila mitoch tzara. She, I don't know how you translate oreget. Dug. No, with an aleph. He was la'arog with an ayin. I don't know what it means.
It's with an. It means it's like a deep, deep desire.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Correct. So Esther was oreged b'tfila lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'toch tzara. Somehow, this koach ha'tfila is more powerful in women than in men. V'ana unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And God answered her. It's very interesting. When David saw that God answers the ayalot, the females, v'nimshala Esther ba'ayelet, and Esther was considered like an ayelet, hitchil soder ale sidor alea mizmor zeh. Can I borrow this for a second? So he wrote the following mizmor. Mizmor what? Excellent. I don't know this by heart. Lam natseach. What? We say it on
Tani Esther.
Yeah?
No idea.
Really? I didn't know he said it. Lamatzelet al ayelet hashachar mizmor leDavid. Right? Lamatzeach, this is the hymn of ayelet hashachar. Eli, Eli, lama azavtani rachok mishuati divrei sha'agati. God, God, why have you abandoned me? I'm far from my salvation. Divrei sha'agati. The words of my sha'aga. My roar. Elohai ekra yomam velo ta'ne velayla dumiyali. There's a primal claim or passion that women have. Derech Agav, I'll just point out to you, what does Chazal say is the Ayelet HaShachar? What is Ayelet HaShachar a mashal to?
The Geula.
The Geula, the redemption. That Ayelet,
it's
Kima, Kima. That's the Midrash of Ayelet HaShachar. Who will bring about the Geula, just like Esther, Lamasech, Al Ayelet HaShachar. It's not going to be us men. Stop here.